This is Molly Smith introducing our annual Bringing America Back to Life speaker series. At this annual event, we invite those on the front lines of the pro-life and family movement to come together for a convention dedicated to exploring the full spectrum of issues and challenges that confront us as we continue to fight for the sanctity of human life, to protect our God-given family structure. We trust you will be edified and encouraged as you listen to our fine roster of speakers who by their articulate, thoughtful, expert presentations eloquently defend the right to life. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Jonathan Jakubowski and Adam Josephic. Adam is the co-founder and executive director of Forge Leadership Network. He graduated from the University of Dayton with a BA in History and Political Science. Jonathan works for the CMC Group as division leader of a newly launched business division, Smart Solve Industries. Jonathan has a diverse array of experience in the private and non-profit and public sector in multiple cities and countries. He received his undergraduate degree from Bowling Green State University and master's degree in public policy from Georgetown University. Their topic is, "The future belongs to you. Are you ready?"
Young and old join together, as did the First Continental Congress, in the first step in humble, heartfelt prayer. Let us do so for the love of God and His great goodness, in search of His guidance and the grace of repentance. Almighty Father, if it is Your holy will that we shall obtain a place and name among the nations of the earth, grant that we may be enabled to show our gratitude for Your goodness by our endeavors to fear and obey You. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties, and fashion into one united people the multitude brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. Endow with Your spirit of wisdom those whom in Your name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to Your law, we may show forth Your praise among the nations of the earth. In time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in You to fail. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as You give us to see the right, let us finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow, and for his orphans. Continue to guide and sustain us in the great unfinished tasks of achieving peace, justice, and understanding among all men and nations, and of ending misery and suffering wherever they exist. For we are given power not to advance our own purposes, nor to make a great show in the world, nor a name. There is but one just use of power, and it is to serve people. Help us to remember it, Lord. God, be with us as You were with our fathers. May You not leave us or forsake us, so that we may incline our hearts to You, to walk in all Your ways, that all peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other.
As I seek to find the mouse, I have to say that Molly just gave me an incredible high level of pressure. Speaking without notes, and here are my notes right here printed out in front of me. I don't know if I can stand up to that. Well, let me see if I can find this. Can anybody see the pointer? Where is this pointer? It's invisible. Okay, thank you guys. Very helpful. All right. Let's see if this works. Here we go. So the title of our presentation is "The Future Belongs to You. Are You Ready?" As He departed the shores of His beloved nation in conditions of turmoil, a nation with so much power and grandeur, a nation of significant influence throughout the nations of the earth, He left it departing with great sorrow in His heart, as He looked back upon a nation that had fallen into moral depravity, a nation where literally millions of innocent lives were taken through multiple revolutions. But he had heard of this incredible nation, this nation with an experiment that came out of nothing, an experiment that so awed the peoples of the earth, he had to figure out what was the secret to America's greatness. Alexis de Tocqueville, a young 20-some-year-old young man, politician, rising in the ranks of France, recognized that his nation was headed to disaster and that there was only one way to try and reverse that, but he had to figure out what the solution was. From his own words, I'm going to read to you what he found out when he came to the shores of America. I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, she too will cease to be great. As I take a quick sidebar from my presentation, I feel compelled to share with you some of the secrets in Scripture that, if unlocked and if understood, they will change your life. You see, the second greatest commandment that we're instructed of is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so often we focus on the loving the neighbor portion, which is right, but we miss out on the latter portion. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love your neighbor. Colossians 1 says that all of the fullness of God, it pleased the God of all nature to place his fullness into his Son. And that through his Son, all of the redemption of mankind through his sacrifice would come to the Father. That all things were made through him. That without him nothing was made that was made. You see, the author of creation, the star breather, the universe maker, an estimated 70 billion light years in space. That same author of creation has called you his prized jewel of creation. He's told you that you are special. He's told you that you are unique. He told you that he has a purpose for your life. That every shred of DNA that you have inside of your body was placed there because he has something specially designed for you. Until you can understand and grasp that the God of all creation stepped down into this earth, taking upon him the condition of man, because he loved you so much that you would not be lost in ambiguity and in sinful ways. It was through the power of that decision that you and I have access to life. I'm going to take a quick exercise here, and I want to ask you, as soon as you know what I'm saying, that where this source of what I'm saying comes from, I just want you to stand. So all of you going to be standing at different times. I want to see if you can tell me where this comes from. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they have been endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that amongst these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That, my friends, comes from the... You may be seated. The man that you see behind me on the screen is a man by the name of William Blackstone. Those initial lines that are so often lost in the document that gave us our birth, which is the laws of nature and nature's God, they get blended into that first part and we forget how critical and how pivotal they are. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about where those words came from. Those words came from this man who was a justice, a leader in the nation of England, and wrote the most popular legal text that came into our country and set shockwaves throughout our nation and the nations of the earth in understanding what is the condition of law. William Blackstone understood that man separate from God, man separate from the rights that God entitles him, man separate to his own derivation and his own ways, has the power to create significant tyranny. I'm going to give you a quote directly from one of the lines in these commentaries on the law. You see, this law of nature being coeval with mankind and dictated by God himself is, of course, superior in obligation to any other. It is binding over all the globe in all countries and at all times. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. And such of them are as valid, derive all their force and all their authority immediately or immediately from this original. America's founders read this textbook cover to cover. They viewed it as one of the most significant and important and influential documents in how they framed the Constitution to secure those God-given inalienable rights. But it wasn't only the founders of our nation who found this book influential. It was many others. One quick story, a man by the name of Charles Finney. Have you ever heard of Charles Finney? Charles Finney was a great revivalist, a part of the Second Great Awakening. Charles Finney came to know Christ by reading this textbook. The scriptures and the scriptural truths speak for themselves. He came to understand that the word of God, which became flesh, John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He understood that that word, when applied to life, becomes something that cannot be stopped. I would argue that in order to secure the future, and the title of this segment is Our Future Belongs to You. I would argue that no one can secure the future without looking to the past. I would argue that the notion of looking to the past, however, has become the subject of great debate. We live in an era of postmodernism. We live in an era where truth claims are questioned on every side. There is no such thing as absolute truth in a relativist universe. So certainly truths that are declared from the past, especially from the past, are going to be questioned in this universe that we call postmodernism. But such a worldview leaves the human, the natural human being who understands inherently because of the form and frame with which we were built, with the ability to think and logically fit into the system, we understand that we cannot exist without absolute truths. Gravity is an absolute truth. So too are the rights of man. Blackstone's understanding that our founders held and that they enshrined in the Declaration and Constitution was that these rights which come from God cannot be usurped by a tyrannical government. No government, no legislature, no king, no Supreme Court can ever take away the rights that are God-given. That is what they used to justify the separation from England. They argued that the king had usurped these God-given rights. Therefore, your rights as individuals come from God and from God alone. And the only way that those rights can be secured is if we look to the past of the framing of those documents to ensure that our future is in place. Now, I want to ask you a question. When I say the word millennial, what comes to mind? College students? Age groups? Anything else? Snowflakes? Anybody else? There you go. So I've heard a lot of descriptions, adjectives that are used to describe the millennial. And today, a little later on, you're going to hear why we believe that the rising generations are the hope of the future. But we also recognize that a conservative worldview, and I'm sitting in an audience of the choir here, most of us being conservative, recognize that conservatism, we believe, holds the keys to the future. But if we do not understand why we believe what we believe, we are held in the space of public debate without answers to the most pressing questions that man will ask. So I want to give you a little bit of a glimpse into what conservatism actually is. And it's really basic. This is quoted by Larry Arnn from Hillsdale University. If American conservatism means anything, then it means that the things which are founded at the beginning of America, when it became a nation, because these things are tied to eternal laws. Therefore, in an age of postmodern thought, let us not be persuaded that everything that is new is better or everything that is new is right, especially to those of us that are rising. I am barely considered a millennial, but it's easy to challenge the notions of those that have gone before us because they're old, because they're antiquated, because they're out of touch with reality. On the contrary, let's look to the past to embrace the truths that lead to human flourishing. One of the ways that this can be best defined is through the originalist interpretation of the Constitution. So according to the Heritage Guide in the Constitution, written constitutionalism implies that those who make, interpret, and enforce the law ought to be guided by the meaning of the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, as it was originally intended. See, in 2012, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was in Egypt, and there was a revolution, and all of you are familiar with the Arab Spring, she was asked what constitution should be used to be placed for Egypt to place its government to rest upon. And her answer was, do not look to the U.S. Constitution in 2012. It is an antiquated document. It's out of touch with reality. Rather, I encourage you to look at the South African Constitution, where the Supreme Court has its own independent rights and the rights of man broadly and of nations make it influential. That was an answer from a Supreme Court justice who has sworn to uphold and defend from all enemies, foreign and domestic, this very Constitution. You see, an originalist interpretation of the Constitution is one that recognizes that there are things about the past that have been consistently good. And those things that are consistently good are the things that we should look to try and implement in the future to ensure that the future is secure. And those inalienable rights that we spoke about earlier, it's recognized that in securing those rights, I'm speaking at a high level, I hope you can track with me, in securing those rights, it is absolutely necessary that we make sure the documents in their original intention and the whole framework of the purpose through why those rights were secured be interpreted as they were written in their original manufactured state. That is critical for this rising generation to understand, because if we have any hope of a secure future, if we have any hope of looking to the future, if we believe in human flourishing and in human dignity, if we believe in human life, we must have an originalist interpretation of the Constitution. It's the most compelling case for the opportunity of our nation to be even greater than we have been. Certainly, everyone points to flaws. They argue that the flaws of slavery, they argue that the flaws and wrongs that have been committed in our nation, those are the reasons why we should look at this document as a living Constitution. But I would argue that it was through the Constitution, the document itself, and the mechanisms created by imperfect men, those mechanisms enabled us to right the wrongs that were in our society. And rather than always looking back at history with a critical lens, let us also look back at history with a lens of truth. For there's a battle that wages in this world, and it is a battle greater than any enemy or any war or any form of conversation could ever have. It is an enemy of deceit and lies versus the answer of truth. Isaiah 61 says that he was called to bring truth to release the captives. See, those that are in captivity, they're not in captivity with physical chains. The spiritual battle that wages war on truth is a spiritual battle. That spiritual battle speaks to how people have been deceived from the beginning of time. And the father of lies, the author of all lies, seeks like a roaring lion to devour our souls. So if we are to embrace truth, first we must look to the source of all truth. And then as we look to the source of all truth, let us embrace the principles that our founders understood from the beginning of our nation, such that those inalienable truths, those inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness may be secure. However, if all we do is a mental exercise, if all we do is sit in our homes and read these texts of these amazing authors and memorize these documents and look at pictures like the one behind me and focus on the greatness of what they did, and leave all the action to somebody else, we lose out on the most important opportunity to take knowledge and to exercise it, because knowledge is not power unless that knowledge is exercised. So I am pleased, I'm ecstatic, in fact, to be a part of the Forge Leadership Network. So the Forge Leadership Network is an example of what I believe to be an organization that will change this state. As we focus on the rising generations, for all of the acronyms I've heard of the negatives of the rising generations, what we see in you is something incredible, something positive, something hopeful, and something powerful. We believe that through you, our state can represent these incredible, inalienable rights and bring into the public sphere the truths of Scripture. So without further ado, I'm going to invite Adam to come up, and we got a quick video for you.
Forge Leadership Network exists to create the next generation of conservative leaders.
We hold these truths. Now, what is truth?
Anytime we have public policies that align with what is true.
Forge Leadership Network exists to create the next generation of conservative leaders.
We hold these truths. Now, what is truth?
Anytime we have public policies that align with what is true, you can expect good things to result from those public policies.
These are compelling arguments, and what I'm offering to you is that unless you get to the core, you will misargue the argument. Truth reveals error. Error hates truth.
So error will do everything possible to prevent the presentation of truth.
You guys are going to learn amazing things from speakers. You're going to learn incredible techniques on public speaking, messaging, networking, and more. But most importantly, I hope you develop some good friendships out of this. All right, so I get the unenviable task of following John. Jakubowski. Hey, I'm fluent in Polish last names, don't worry. So folks, thank you so much for being here. Picking up where John left off, we started Forge Leadership Network in order to raise up the next generation of conservative leaders in Ohio and the Midwest. Right? So it was both a dream and a vision to see young people who are passionate about conservative principles, passionate about their faith, passionate about the convictions that have led to human flourishing throughout human history, to find a way to be connected, to be mentored by the best and brightest, the most thoughtful and effective mentors in our nation, and to be able to then hit the ground running. Right? Because how many of you are sports fans, by a show of hands? Would you consider yourself a sports fan? I won't ask you, how many, hours you spend a week on, like, SportsCenter, because SportsCenter is totally political now. Do you remember when SportsCenter actually showed highlights? It was great. Now it's like the only thing I have is the golf channel, which I love golf, but for the rest of you, I imagine that's very boring. So with sports, there's farm systems, right? Like in baseball, you have the farm systems, right? So I know, you've got the Toledo Mudhens, you've got the Dayton Dragons, Columbus Crews. We've got a lot of minor league baseball teams in Ohio and two major league teams. Well, those major league teams, especially when there's injuries or when there's, trades or free agency, they're only as good as who's coming up behind them, right? You're only as good as who's coming up behind you. And so this aligns with scripture, this basic principle I'm about to tell you, that we will never reap what we do not sow, right? It's impossible according to nature, right? We will never reap what we do not sow. So how are we going to make sure that we have principled leadership, principled servant leadership, not just self-appointed leadership, which you see a lot in politics? How do we make sure we have principled servant leadership for the decades to come, right? And so this was the challenge, and this was the vision behind creating Forge Leadership Network. So a couple years ago, a buddy of mine who I think is very worried about what I'm saying there, maybe, but Justin Powell and I started Forge Leadership Network in order to identify, train, mentor, and connect the next generation of conservative leaders in the public square, to actually set up for young people a formal mentoring system in Ohio for young people throughout the Midwest to be able to learn timeless principles, to learn practical skills, to take part in full legislative simulations at the state capitol, and then afterwards, for those who stood out, to be chosen and matched with mentors throughout the country who are doing exactly what they want to be doing in 20 to 30 years, right? So those who want to make an impact on law and the business marketplace and culture and media and education, and then those who are crazy enough to want to go right into the belly of the beast of campaigns and elections like I was, right? And so we Forge connects those young leaders, those leaders of tomorrow with the leaders of today. And so that's the vision of Forge. That's a little bit why we started Forge, was we saw so much young talent, so many people like bright faces that I see in this room who are passionate about making an impact and passionate about changing their world, and just we're wondering where to get started, right? So Forge was really a product of Justin and I and other talking with people throughout the country, talking with people throughout the state and saying, man, we wish there was something like this when we were 22, when we were 18, when we were 24, right? So that's where Forge came from.
So that gives you a little bit of a background on what you're about to hear and what I'm going to share with you. So our mission is that we identify the leading young conservatives throughout Ohio and the Midwest. We joked with a very nice lady speaker yesterday who's from Iowa that we even accept Hawkeyes to join the Buckeyes, right, and all this stuff. So we've had students as far as Nebraska and Texas attend the Forge Leadership Summit, which I'll tell you about in a second. So we identify leading young conservatives throughout the Midwest. We train them at a four-day leadership summit called the Forge Leadership Summit. This is in Columbus, Ohio, every July. We then, out of those students, we mentor the best and brightest and plug them into a 12-month formal mentoring program. And then lastly, we launch them into internships and jobs in the conservative movement. All right, so we've had young people who are graphic designers, civil engineers, and then many that you would follow along their career path as more in line with what we normally associate with the public square. But we enjoy is seeing that God has brought young people together with all different gifts and all different talents and all different jobs and vocations they hope to go into. You know, because as Jonathan talked about, our nation was founded on the idea of an engaged and educated citizenry, right? Where, you know, the citizen legislator, right? We're nerds, so we were debating term limits last night at like midnight, you know, in our hotel room. But he's like, no, but the citizen engagement, you were going to go back to the farm, right? You weren't going to spend your whole life in there. But we need an engaged citizenry in all aspects, right? In math and sciences, in the liberal arts, in the service and healthcare industries and all these things, right? Because we know that if you're a Christian, you know that God created work and work was good. Right? The toil, I mean, this is one of the things that I didn't really learn until like I was in a Bible study a couple years ago. I realized, wait a second, like toil and struggle and all those things that we associate with work and is real. And if you've worked a hard job or, you know, you experienced this, none of that came about till after the fall, but work was there before the fall, right? Adam's cultivating the garden. He's naming the animals. So work is good, right? And work matters because what we do matters in this life, right? So we want to be able to equip people that are going into all aspects of life because all jobs matter and all work done to the glory of God and done in pursuit and excellence matters. And so, you know, part of the thing that would we lose a culture, would we lose a society, a government, is because people say, oh, yeah, I'm going to leave that, you know, governing and civic engagement to those professional people, right? We're all engaged. So anyway, that was a little bit of a rant, I guess. So the way that we do this is the Forge Summit. So the Forge Leadership Summit, which we call Forge 101. Those of you who've been through college, you know, you remember you have your 101 classes, your 201, your 202, your 30. Yeah, exactly. All the way up. The freshman classes are mainly in the 100s and all this. So Forge 101 is step one, right? And this is the really exciting part. This is the opportunity that those of you who are 16 to 24, if you're within the ages of 16 and 24, you can attend this July. The Forge Leadership Summit, I'm going to show you a couple pictures, is 4 days of incredible training and timeless principles. So you hear from incredible speakers across the country and this nation on principles like limited government, economic freedom, ethics in life. Molly spoke on ethics in life just a year ago at the Forge Leadership Summit. Religious liberty, servant leadership. What does thoughtful and effective Christian cultural engagement look like? And more. You take part in practical skills training. Like we bring in national experts from Alliance Defending Freedom in media training, right? So you're learning how to craft messages. You're learning how to, you know, work on your tone. You're looking at how would you present your message to a hostile audience versus a friendly audience. You're learning all these things. You're learning message crafting, messaging, media training, networking. We do a lot of networking, right? We do speed networking. And I'm looking at some of the students who have gone through Forge and we do speed networking, which is like speed dating without the, you know, romance. Unless you let it devolve very quickly. I'm joking. So networking, right? And the public speaking, you're learning how to, persuade. And the great part is you also get to take part in a full legislative simulation at the state capitol. So we, due to the generosity of the Ohio State House, they allow us when the state representatives are out on break, on recess in July, they allow us to use the State House floor, the State House committee. So we have conservative state representatives who volunteer their time to help coach our students. You draft your own bills. You bring those in. You try to, you know, convince your colleagues of the worthiness of those bills during your committee sessions, your committee hearings, and then you actually have the chance to present those on the floor, right? So it's a dynamic process, and it's one that is normally a real highlight. We even do a campaign in a day, which was actually invented last year by Forge and a great organization based in Wisconsin called American Majority. And we created this thing called Campaign in a Day. What Campaign in a Day is, it's like 6 hours of, you're breaking into teams, and there's all these different objectives of different parts of a campaign. I mean, you're even like designing the logo and all this stuff and all the way through. And then at the end, we have like a celebrity judge panel, kind of like Shark Tank. Anybody ever, you know, seen that show? Mark Cuban doesn't offer anybody $2 million, but otherwise it's really fun. That's the Forge Leadership Summit. Now, if you attend the Forge Leadership Summit and you're, and remember, you're eligible if you're ages 16 through 24. If you attend the Forge Leadership Summit and you're over 18, if you're under 18, the great part is you get to keep coming back. If you haven't reached college or graduated high school, you get to come back to the Forge Summit. But once you're over 18, if we identify real potential and growth, and it's a hard cut, right? It's like anybody playing varsity sports. And I know, you know, John played Division I football, so he never got cut, but I got cut in a Division I golf tryout. So it stinks, right? But you learn from it. But we choose the best and brightest to then enter into a 12-month formal mentoring program. And so this is called Forge 201. And this is one of the things that I think attracts a lot of young people to Forge. So we spend 4 days. We spent 4 days in Washington, D.C., and you're meeting folks and meeting with experts and taking part of experiences that you wouldn't have even if you intern in D.C. for 2 or 3 years, right? Because we've put the power of our networks. There are really a lot of things running an organization, young nonprofit. I've learned like very acutely all of my like strengths and weaknesses, and there's a lot of weaknesses I've learned. And so the thing is, you like learn those very acutely, and you learn like what you're not cut out to do. And the one thing that I'm very good at is networking. So we've got a network of wonderful people throughout the country who devote their time. We've never had to pay an honorarium because people have flown in from across the country to speak at Forge, to speak at 201 in D.C. So you meet these incredible folks who, out of their desire to pay it forward or their desire to invest in the next generation, will meet with us and speak to you. And so Forge 201 gives you networks nationally and helps you understand national politics and domestic affairs in a way that I don't think many folks have ever had a chance to do in 4 days. That's Congressman Jim Jordan speaking to our students in our Forge mentoring program. He opened up his whole office. He insisted, as you can see, that the young ladies sit in his chair and everything. And on the seventh time of insisting that they sit there, they finally took him up on it. And but Jim Jordan, Congressman Mark Meadows, who has just succeeded Jim Jordan as the new chairman of the Freedom Caucus. We heard from Congressman Dave Brat. We heard from Congressman Mark Meadows, like I said, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman Warren Davidson and his family actually took us on a nighttime tour, a private tour of the Capitol building. So we were actually in the Capitol, you know, after dark. Got to go on the Speaker's balcony. We got to go into the House chamber. We got to go into the Senate chamber, and all these things made possible by the generosity of folks who believe in investing in the next generation. And then the last step, and that's us at the Lincoln Memorial. And the last step is thanks to Museum of the Bible. Has anybody heard of this new Museum of the Bible that's going to be opening in D.C. in November? It's going to be incredible. I mean, really a fantastic, really just terrific. Every time I use superlatives now, I realize I can never top like our president. It's really going to be the best thing ever invented forever. So the Museum of the Bible is really fantastic. And we got to actually take a hard hat tour of the Museum of the Bible, which they normally only give to donors. And we actually got to take a hard hat tour of the Museum of the Bible. But the great part is Museum of the Bible has actually got an organization called Passages, which takes Christian college students, Catholic and Protestant, to Israel every summer for these 10-day incredible experiences where you come face to face with the heritage of your faith. You know, you're your senses are engaged in the stories that you've read through, you know, forever in scripture. And you hear from, you get like a, it's, you don't get like master's credit, but it's like the equivalent of like a 5-day master's program in like international affairs. Cause we hear from ballistics experts. We hear from military gurus. We hear from archaeologists, like the top archaeologists in the Middle East. We heard from the man who has been the lead negotiator in the Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. You hear from these people like every lunch and every dinner. It's an incredible program made possible by Museum of the Bible. And so our students, they believe in what we're doing, and this has become an annual partnership. So the neat part is if you go through Forge, you get to understand local and state politics. You can then get to understand national politics and domestic affairs, and you get to understand the conflict in the world at kind of the epicenter and international affairs. Yeah, here's a couple pictures of us in Israel. That is the Sea of Galilee. This is our programming. Okay. You know, exciting, but the neat part is in 2 years, we've seen this vision. We've seen God absolutely bless this vision. As Molly's, nodding her head. We've seen God do more, you know, immeasurably more than we could have asked, right? As scripture says, and God has used, the community of folks like Bringing America Back to Life and others to send wonderful students our way with incredible talent. And these students are doing some really special things already in only 2 years. So some of our graduates, This is fantastic. Some of our graduates have now, we've trained 110 students at the two Forge Leadership Summits, 40 in 2015 and 70 last year. This year, those of you who are going to apply, you young people in the room, we're going to choose 99, okay? So application is open now. I'll come to that at the end, but be thinking of that number. There's only 99 spots. 50 of these have been nominated and accepted in our mentoring program. Now, the incredible part is, so after they've taken part in all these experiences, the whole time we're pairing them with mentors. Molly, I know you are one of our Forge mentors. Jonathan's one of our Forge mentors. There's other people in this room, I think, that are Forge mentors that we are so blessed by them, who pour their life and their wisdom and experience into young people who want to follow in their footsteps and impact the public square and culture in the same way that they are doing. So we've had some exciting results already in only 2 years. One of our students was actually already elected to public office, which is really neat. That's Alex Staten on the left. Alex is the youngest person ever elected to local school board in Western Ohio. Alex is at school board and doing great things, and he's actually working on a citizens initiative to actually give back money to the taxpayers that the school didn't use this last year. I said, yeah, right? I mean, can we get a round of applause for that, right? So, I mean, I told Alex, you're going to have to have like the EMT units ready, because like people are going to have a heart attack thinking the government's actually giving them back money. It's going to be such a shocker. Be almost as bad as the Bengals winning the Super Bowl, you know? I'm a diehard Bengals season ticket holder and long suffering. Yeah, I know. None of us like the Steelers. It's okay. All right. So we've got Rachel Del Judas, who is, I think, in this room or working hard. Yeah. In the next room, Rachel is the one of the youngest congressional reporters in the country. She, after an internship with the Heritage Foundation, she's become their congressional reporter for the Daily Signal, which is the Heritage Foundation's incredible publishing arm. So, you know, it's a blast. We have to take some of the credit. But see, that's the thing. So many of our best students have come from Cleveland Right to Life and the Bringing America Back to Life Convention of Molly Smith. And Rachel was first connected to us through Molly Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
We've got four young people who are now serving our country in the military, which is incredible, right? Four people, two who are trying to become Navy SEALs. One who's an Army chaplain, this young man, Jeremiah Martin, who has, he's got three little ones at home, and a wonderful wife, and he, uh, He started our program when he was 24. He's about 26, 27 now. He just deployed. So pray for him. He just deployed back to Kuwait and Iraq as an army chaplain. So we've got four folks in the military, and we've had a number of young people who are pursuing incredible career development and professional development. This is Jana Minnick. Jana is a graduating senior at Cedarville University. Jana just got a full ride to the University of Virginia's law school. If you know anything about law school, the University of Virginia is an incredible law school, let alone to get a full ride to it. So Alliance Defending Freedom, one of their chief litigators, their most famous litigators at the Supreme Court, Jordan Lawrence, was speaking to a group of this year's Forge Fellows, our mentorees, and said to them that she was the best intern he's had in like 30 years, and that if she asked him to, he would write her a letter of recommendation to clerk for a Supreme Court justice someday, put his whole name on the line for that. So that's incredible. I asked him if he could say that while I filmed it on my iPhone for us to. It's so been wonderful things happening now. Okay, so hopefully some of you are chomping at the bit, excited to take part in the Forge Leadership Summit now on your own. Like I said, we've had amazing grads. We've got one elected to public office. Another young man came up 2 percentage points short of state senate in Nebraska. He upset a 20-year incumbent in the primary. But Nebraska's goofy. They have their elections are not their elections are nonpartisan even for state senate. So the letter's not next to the name. So he had to run against the same gentleman in the general. And the teachers union spent over $300,000 against this young man. And he came within 3 points of pulling it off. Like I said, we got four in the military. We've had four who've worked on presidential campaigns, both for various candidates in the primary, as well as in the general. And we've got 10 that are working on Capitol Hill and state legislators. So where's this going? How can you be involved, right? This is what I was getting to a second ago. The 2017 Forge Leadership Summit is fast approaching. So it's in July. July is not that far away. I know this because we had like 65 degree weather last week. Oh, wait, that was like February. But the Forge Summit is coming up July 4th through 8th. Now, I know what you're saying. July 4th? It's your thing. We polled this with all of our students. And the thing is, our students are nerds. We're nerds in this room. Because they want to hang out with us on July 4th because they thought, what's a better use of July 4th than hanging out with other constitutionalists and other patriots and celebrating our independence and grilling out and doing that? So it's going to start the afternoon of July 4th. It'll wrap up on Saturday afternoon, July 8th. But it's an incredible experience. If you want to apply for that, or if you know, or if you are a parent or grandparent, or you know of a young person who this is made for and who needs this launching pad, into their professional endeavors and into this mentoring, have them go to forgeleadership.org. So it's in the little pamphlet you got, and you've got everything you need there to apply. The sooner you apply, the more money you save, right? I realized this a couple years ago. I did the same thing in college, where like college students tend to wait till the last minute to turn things in. So the first year, I was stressed out of my mind because we were trying to get like 40 students to the summit. We had 10 with like 3 weeks left. And all of a sudden, 29 come in one night, the night before the deadline. Right? So you save money if you get it in faster, because even though I'm like losing money on you saving money, I'm gaining the peace of mind. Right? So get it in, save money. There are need-based scholarships available, right? So there are need-based scholarships available. So if you've been praying about this is cut out for you, or you're cut out for this, and you say, you know what, my family and I, we just can't cut it completely financially on this. We have need-based scholarships. Do not let money be an obstacle, please. Okay, please do not let that be an obstacle. So it's about $400 to apply. That covers all your room and board, all your meals. We're not bad, right? Yeah. So we're at a university, a small Christian campus just south of Columbus, Ohio. They're incredibly hospitable to us. It's a great place. Ohio Christian University, and then two of the days we're up at the Ohio State House, right? This year, now the fun part is for the adults in this room who are like, oh man, why, you know, like where was this when I was this age, right? You know, that's why, I mean, this was the whole reason we started this was because I asked the same question. The great part is we have a wonderful community showcase reception on July 7th. So if you go to forgeleadership.org and you sign up for our monthly update newsletter, I'll make sure you'll see that come through that. But we've got on July 7th, on Friday, July 7th, we're going to have an incredible Forge showcase. Last year we had Congressman Warren Davidson, who won the 15-person primary to replace John Boehner's retired seat in Southwest Ohio, and Treasurer Josh Mandel spoke. This year, one of our speakers is a recently retired Navy SEAL who loves God, and he's the man who trained both Chris Kyle from American Sniper and Marcus Luttrell from Lone Survivor. He trained both of them. He loves God, and he loves talking about servant leadership and what does it look like to do your duty as an American and as a believer. So I'm out of time. This is where you need to go, forgeleadership.org. So, Molly, did we have a couple minutes for questions?
We do.
Okay.
We've got two questions, and I've sort of tried to go through them and find the same ones, and the two of you can come on up. Come on back up, Jonathan. With the world that we live in now, everybody has their own opinion and their minds set. How do we fight that?
Well, that's a great question. It's a tough question to answer, but you have to remember that, again, we live in a universe with absolute truths. There are absolute laws that govern the universe. So when everybody has their own opinion, when everybody has their own way of thinking, if that doesn't align with the truth, at some way, some point in their life, they're going to have a hard recognition of reality, that mindset or that thought process is not coming into a situation where that mindset can continue on if they're going to deal with the truth. This is a model. Forge is a model where we go to the foundational element of how humans think. You have to start at the worldview if you're going to change people's minds. And usually that comes from relationship. Obviously, we're speaking to the choir here. So when it comes to talking to those that would be against this message and this belief system, the most powerful tool that we have in our toolbox is the love of Jesus Christ. There's no question about it. If you can, through love, share the gospel of hope with others, they give you entrance into the right to have a conversation with them around what they believe.
Final question, and please know that Adam and John are going to be here for a while. When do you leave?
Tomorrow morning.
So they'll be here all afternoon and tomorrow and this evening. So find them and ask your questions if I didn't manage to get to yours. The other one, which I think everybody might be wondering about, is how do you find students and cover costs for 101?
Yeah. So we find students through a lot of it's word of mouth, right? So a lot of it is, now that we've had wonderful students, I've got three Forge grads here in the front row, or what is, de facto the front row of Jessica, Naomi, and Peter here. So you can ask them about it. We have students that are recommended to us by college professors, right? So we'll find conservative. I don't know why I'm walking the room again. Conservative professors who will identify, five of their top students for this. We'll have guidance counselors who recommend students, folks in career services. But a lot of it is, and then a lot of it is student groups on campuses, right? So like Students for Life, College Republicans, Young Americans for Freedom, students who have already identified that they're into this type of stuff. And then word of mouth. But we rely heavily on recommendations, right? I mean, this is only the start of year three. So we're young. We do not have a huge budget. I mean, you said, how do we cover the costs? God has provided. We have a small but hopefully growing budget. And if any of you would like to help with that, we absolutely can. We are ready to handle your most generous gift. We are. No, it's a wonderful ministry to participate in. You will thoroughly enjoy it. That's how. And so scholarships, we just think it's that worthwhile.
And that's what they've done, is they've stepped out in faith. It's so wonderful to have watched Adam do this. They stepped out in faith. They didn't put that part first. They put that part second. And God is providing for them. It is amazing. I would really encourage every young person in this room to please go through this training. If you are interested in doing any of the things that he's talked at, Jonathan and Adam talked about, please sign up for this. I'm going to finish off. I'm done, but I told you that the two of them are phenomenal, but I'm going to let John finish off with a story.
Very good. And just by the way, I sit on the board of advisors, so governance might sound like a really boring word, but we ensure that every penny that comes into the organization is spent the way that it's intended to. So we manage it with accountability. We have a wise group of leaders that are on that board from all walks of life. So I can stand behind the statement that it's a worthy organization to give to. I wanted to circle back quickly to the question that was asked, because I had an experience. It was around 3 or 4 years ago. I was flying to Guatemala. I also founded a nonprofit back in 2010, which is where I get some experience that's relevant to Forge. And as I was flying on this plane, I was sitting next to a gentleman. And sometimes on plane rides, it's kind of awkward to engage that initial conversation. But I started asking this guy some questions. He started asking me, and I started to share my faith with him. And I quickly recognized that there were some walls that were coming up, certainly larger than those of Jericho. This guy was not pleased with what I was saying. So I took a step back and thought, what should I ask him to try and see if he can engage? Because there's something here that's preventing him from engaging conversation. I started asking him about his family and quickly found out, as he recognized that I had an interest in his person, that some of those walls started to fall down, a little brick here, a little brick there. And as we began to engage conversation, he told me, listen, I've heard what you said, and it's interesting and everything, but how would you deal with someone that's a homosexual? He said, I work for Walt Disney World. I am a gay, I think it was baker. I think baker was the term he used, and the baker term seems to be in that world pretty frequently. He said he was a gay baker at Walt Disney World and was really struggling with my message, and he pointed specifically to the Westboro Baptist Church and how they protest at the funerals of gay soldiers that have returned home. And he pointed to that, and I could, with tears coming out of his eyes, was that he felt that strongly about this. He said, how could you tell me, how could you dare tell me that there's a God that loves me and that you serve him if these people do this? So I realized real quickly that this was not a question or a conversation really around truth. It was a conversation on touching the heart of the love of the Savior for him. So I began to speak to him in a real different tone. I give thanks to the Holy Spirit. When we have conversations, let's be present in that reality that God can always intervene in the affairs of men and through our conversations. And I ultimately ended up telling him that I love him. Now, when I said that, it shocked him. But that statement of I love you was something he had never heard from his dad growing up. It took the walls down, and the conversation to the gospel began to flourish. So I want to give you that as an example for how you deal with really difficult opinions on the other side. Usually you have to get past those walls.
Jonathan's right. It's amazing the benefit of the doubt that people will give you when they know that you care about them, right? And not just the ideas that you might be debating, right? So we just want to thank Molly, because back to that question of how do we find students and everything, Forge never would have gotten off the ground without champions like Molly Smith and Cleveland Right to Life. So thank you, Molly.
You have been listening to Jonathan Jakubowski and Adam Josephic. Adam and Jonathan are well-known conservative leaders in Ohio, as well as being 2017 Bringing America Back to Life convention speakers.